Welcome to the Shiur in Sforno Parshas Tzav. This evening is dedicated by Aaron Goldman in memory of Ira Stern, Yitzchok Shmuel ben Yaakov Yonos. First yard site is tonight, Yud Aleph Nissan. Of course, we know, I think everyone here pretty much remembers Ira, very, very much a pillar of the shul for many, many years. Somebody was involved, and certainly as we're learning Torah in his memory, it sparks the opportunity to recall many of the wonderful things that he did for the shul, that he did for people in general. And our tefillah is that the neshama should have an aliyah, should see much nachas from the Torah mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim that we're all involved in, that to a very large extent he helped facilitate. The past two nights, we spoke about the first half of Parshas Tzav that reviews the halachas of many of the karbanos. Okay, we talk about the idea that the Sforno develops with regard to the first half of Tzav, that whereas Parshas Vayikra talks about the Maisa Karbanos, the mechanics of the Karbanos, Parshas Tzav gets into the Torah of the Karbanos, the concepts behind the various Karbanos. We spoke about that for the past two evenings. Perek Ches, which is the halfway point of the Sedra, describes the procedure of the Miluim, the inauguration ceremonies that brought Aaron and his sons officially into the positions. It consecrated them, the ceremony of the Miluim consecrated them to serve as Kohanim. So the Sforno takes some time to talk a little bit about the significance of the various Karbanos that are associated with the Miluim. And comments on the following pasuk, the beginning of Perek Ches, Vaydaber Shalemar. Shem says to Moshe, Kachas Aaron v'yes bonov ito, v'yes habgodim v'yashemen hamishcha. So gather Aaron and his sons together with the holy clothes that they're going to wear, the oil of anointment, v'yes parachatos, the bull which will serve as the carbon chatos, v'yes shnei ho'elim, the two rams which are going to be sacrificed. We'll see that one will be a carbon ola, one will be a carbon of the miluim. V'yeh sala matzos, and there's going to be a basket of matzos. So comments on this, the Sforno, about the various karbonos. Hiktim parachatos. Right? The first of the karbonos is the carbon chatos, the par, the bull that's going to serve as a sin offering. That's mentioned before the two elim, the two rams, again, one of which is going to serve as a carbon ola, a burnt offering, the second one of which is going to serve as a carbon miluim, as a special carbon to initiate the kohanim into their service. But why is the chatos mentioned first? So, ka'amram zal, as chazal say, gemarim psachim, dafnatesim, and aleph, kochatos kodemes la'ola haba ima. Whenever you have a chatos and an ola that are supposed to be brought in conjunction with one another, the carbon chatos is always supposed to be brought before the carbon ola. And this, again, is no exception to that rule. The chatos is offered up first. And the idea behind that, says the Sforno, is very easy to understand. Ki adach achar sheyechupar hachet ein makom klal la'ola. Until the sin is atoned for through the carbon chatos, it simply wouldn't make sense to bring the carbon ola, to bring the burnt offering. Why is that? The carbon ola, as Chazal talk about, as the Sforno mentioned in Parashas Vayikra, the carbon ola is mechaper on hirhurei avera. It atones for thoughts of sin. So, you know, you have to start with basics. You first have to atone actual sins before you can start moving on to the lofty level of atoning for thoughts of sin. You know, a guy comes to you, Lamashal, you know, what do you do for a living? I'm a bank robber. Uh-huh. And so why are you coming to me? Well, because I have thoughts of sin that I need to atone for. Okay, yeah, you know, that's nice. Maybe we should start with basics. You know, the fact that you're breaking into banks, you know, and running off with people's money, you know, maybe that's the first thing we should atone for. So that's why carbon chatos comes before a carbon olo. You first have to atone for the actual sins, and then we could talk about the loftier idea of atoning for sinful thoughts. Chatos is for a shogeg, but what you see from here is that even a sin that's b'shogeg, but it's a sin of action, is still something that needs atonement for before we get to the level of atoning for thoughts. That's what you see. You know, so actions, in the end of the day, are more basic and more fundamental than the thoughts. You know, even if the thoughts are mazed and the action is shogeg, that's what you see. That the you know, that the thoughts, that the action which is that's done b'shogeg still needs a kapara first. It's still more basic. And based on this idea, the Sfarno comes along and explains a very interesting pasuk in Tehillim, Kapitel Mem, pasuk Zayin. The pasuk there says, "Ol v'chata'a lo sha'alta, Ribono shel Olam, you did not ask for a carbon ola and a carbon chatos." The simple pshat in the pasuk is that David HaMelech is going to the Ribono shel Olam and saying, "Ribono shel Olam, you're not asking for karbanos from me." You know, in other words, you know, what does the pasuk say? Zivchei Elokim ruach nishbara, right? Ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a broken spirit. He doesn't, you know, he's not interested primarily in the karbanos. The karbanos are important insofar as they convey the idea of having a broken spirit. But the Sfarno is pointing out that the pasuk has a deeper meaning as well. The pasuk says, Ola v'chata'a lo sha'alta, in that order. Ribono shel Olam, you didn't ask for a korban ola followed by a korban chatos. A chatos followed by an ola, you asked for many times. That's the normal way that you're supposed to bring the korbanos when you have a korban chatos and a korban ola. The chatos comes first, then the ola, as per the idea that was just laid out over here. But ola ve'olo sha'alta, to do it in the reverse order, Ribono shel Olam, you're not interested in that at all, because the person who comes and wants to atone for his sinful thoughts before taking care of his sinful deeds is misguided in terms of how to relate to the Ribono shel Olam. Okay, so that's the first thing we need to know about the Miluim. The Karban Chatos comes before the Karban Ola in a way which is typical, which is also readily understood based on these principles. It was a par, it was a bull, that was brought as the korban chatos for the kohanim. Kemishpat kohen Moshiach. Just like we learned in last week's sedra, that when a kohen gadol errs, so he brings, the korban chatos that he brings, is a par, it's a bull. It's not a kisba osiira. It's not a female or a female goat, like the typical person would bring as a korban chatos. It's a par, and again, the Sfarno said that's because the par, the bull, is considered to be a more important, a more chashuv kind of animal. Here, too, we're initiating Aaron HaKohen as the Kohen Gadol, so the chatos that represents him should be the same chatos that a Kohen Gadol would bring under normal circumstances. Avolo nichnas domo lifnim. However, there is a difference between the korban chatos that's going to be brought as part of the miluim, the inauguration of Aaron, and the par kohen Moshiach, the par that would be brought by a kohen gadol, typically, who would err. And that's as follows. When it comes to the par kohen Moshiach, as we spoke about a little bit over the past 2 days, the blood of that korban was brought into the inner part of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh, and was sprinkled on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, on the inner golden mizbeach, something very atypical for korbanos in general. Why was that done? That was done to show the severity of the sin when a kohen gadol sins. That was not done in this instance. Ki lo hoyo cheto b'madregas roash yitztarech lozeh, kemo shehoyo tzarech b'horaz kohen moshiach v'horaz bezdin shechetiyu. The sin which is being atoned for over here is not on the same level of the sin of a Kohen Gadol who paskened erroneously, or a Sanhedrin that paskened erroneously. The Kohanim need to purify themselves before assuming their position, but the assumption is that the level of sin that they need to atone for is not quite as strong as all of that. This stands in a little bit of contrast to a Rashi earlier in Chumash. in Shmos Perek Chof Tes, in Parshas Tetzave, which is the mirror image of the parasha that we have here in Tzav. Tzav describes how they carried out the Miluim. The end of Tetzave describes how they were commanded to have the ceremony of the Miluim in order to inaugurate Aaron as the Kohen Gadol together with his son. So there it talks about Lekach par echad ben bakar, right? Take a par, take a bull. Rashi there writes, quoting from the Medrash Tanchuma, Lechaper al maiseh ha'egel, shehu par. The reason that the Kohanim were told that they had to bring a par, that they had to bring a bull in order to inaugurate them as Kohanim, was as an atonement for the Chet ha'egel, for the sin of the golden calf. The calf, the bull, they're basically from the same family. So therefore, bringing the par is a way of being mechaper for the maiseh ha'egel. I think it's pretty clear the Sfarno is not working with that interpretation of the significance of the par, because if he was, I think he'd be hard-pressed to say that the reason the par doesn't have its blood brought into the Kodesh is because the par is atoning for a sin, which, okay, it's not such a sin, not such a terrible sin. The Chet HaEgel, that's a pretty terrible sin, right? So it seems like, according to the Sfarno, the par is not atoning for the Chet HaEgel, but rather, the par is just atoning generally for whatever sins Aaron and his sons might have committed. Again, Adam Eretz Hashayasa Tov Lo Yechta, the pasuk says there's no such thing as somebody who doesn't sin at all. So Aaron and his sons certainly sinned in some way or another. But the par is atoning for those sins, not necessarily for the Chet HaEgel, which clearly would have been on a very, very high level of sinfulness and would need a very, very significant atonement. Okay. So the Karban Chatos is brought. Then when it comes to the two Elim, to the two rams, one of which is the Karban Ola, one of which is the Karban Miluim, the ram, which is the Karban Ola, is brought first. Why is that? So the Sfarno continues, V'hikdim ha'ola le'miluim, ki gam ba'ola tia eza kapara. The Ola should still come before the Miluim, because the Ola brings about a certain degree of kapara, of atonement. Again, as we just spoke about, it's mechaper for hirhurei aveira. It atones for sinful thoughts. So we want to cleanse the Kohanim as much as possible before enabling them to bring the Korban Miluim, which would then inaugurate them into service. The Korban Miluim is the last thing. First, we scrub the Kohanim from a spiritual perspective. We do that by having them bring a Korban Chatos, then a Korban Ola. It's mechaper for their maisim, it's mechaper for their machshavos, it atones for their deeds, it atones for their thoughts. And then after all of that, they're ready to bring the Korban Miluim. The achar shleimus ha-kapara, after the kapara, the atonement has been totally brought about, nasu ru'uyim l'malayas yodam l'hashlimo la'avoda. Then and only then are they to now come and serve in the Mishkan. So the Miluim is the last of these three Korbanos which is brought. Going forward a little bit, the Psukim here in Tzav describe how the Korban Miluim is offered up. So it says, in Pasuk Chofei, Vaikachas achelev esoalio v'yasachelev asher al akerev v'yas yoseres hakoved v'shtei akloyos v'schel behen v'shol kayomin. So Moshe takes the various parts from the carbon, from the second carbon, which is the carbon hamiluim. A lot of it is fat, but in addition to that, he takes the shol kayomin, the right thigh. Umisal matzos asher lifnei Hashem. Then he goes into the basket of matzos. So he lokach chalas matzah achas v'chalas lechem shemen achas v'rokikem. He takes three different types of matzos. Vayosem ala chalovim v'al shol kayomin. He takes the matzos, he places them on top of the fats and on top of the shol kayomin, the right thigh. Vayitenos hakol al kapei aron v'al kapei vonov. He places all of this on the hands of Aaron, on the hands of his sons, vayonef osam tnufa lifnei Hashem, and he waves them in a the article here translates as a wave service, as an act of waving them before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On this, the Sfarno comments as follows. V'nei b'chol ha'shlomim, yi yashok ha'yomin la'kohen. The korban miluim is closest to a korban shlomim. In the end of the day, the pasuk says that the korban miluim is consumed. V'yomim Moshe l'Aaron v'yalbonav, Moshe says to Aaron and his sons, bashlus ha'bosar pesach o'el moed, cook the meat. V'sham tochlu osov yasalechem asher b'salam miluim. You'll eat the meat and you'll eat the bread. You'll eat the matzos. So in other words, like a korban shlomim, it's consumed. However, in a typical korban shlomim, the shok hayomim, the right thigh, would be given to the kohanim to eat as well. Uvishal me nazir, yiyel hakohen hashok v'hazra shehim hayod v'haregel. When a nazir brings his korban shlomim, he gets not only the right thigh, but the right forearm. Uve'el hamiluim, hoyo hashok al gabi hamizbeach. Here, sort of atypically, the right thigh was taken and burned on the mizbeach. So why is that? Why is it that the shlomim, that typically in a shlomim, the right thigh is given to the kohanim? Why is it in a nazir that the right thigh and the forearm are given to the kohanim? And why is it here that the right thigh is burned on the mizbeach? So he explains, ki omnom hazor hamakriv al harov, yitain hashok shehuim haregel, lakoin hanichnas lifnim emechitzas hazor hamakriv. Typically, when a person brings a korban shlomim,